Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
Bombing New York, the difficulties of self-government, and, oh, sorry, we forgot to execute you. It's February 1921.
100 years from today.
World News Update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. Germany's Foreign Minister, Walter Simons, has told the Reichstag that the government will not accept the Allied Supreme Council's schedule for reparations due under the Versailles Treaty and will propose new terms. For their part, the Allies have reduced the amount Berlin will have to pay for the victors' occupation of the Rhineland. Count Carlo Sforza, Italy's foreign minister, says Germany will only be on the hook for 240 million gold marks. That's about £12 million, $47 million, and represents for the Berlin government a reduction of 83% from what was originally due.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air. You can make them hug and squeeze you too. Or if they don't, just say you won't come down until they do. So wait till you get them up in the clouds, boys. There won't be anyone to watch you there. When you get her way up high, have all the fun you can. There never was a girl who'd fall that far for any man. So wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Up, 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 way up in the air.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Not the girls, the bombs. The World War was appalling in the toll it took of our young men. But the slaughter could have been worse, at least for Americans.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Up, 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 way up in the air.
U.S. Army Brigadier General Billy Mitchell has told the House of Representatives Naval Affairs Committee that in 1918, Germany had been preparing to bomb New York City with the last of three Zeppelin airships built by the Imperial German Navy, the L-72. General Mitchell testified that the airship was all ready to make the trip, and then suddenly the armistice was signed. Quote, I believe that it could have attacked New York City with success, the Brigadier General said. It was designed to fly at a height of 30,000 feet, thus making it virtually immune from attacks by airplanes on its trip here, unquote. He added that the U.S. Army was working on producing something similarly lethal. Under the disarmament terms of the Versailles Treaty, the L-72 was surrendered to France last year and immediately renamed the Dixmude in honour of the Fusilier Marin who died at the Battle of Dixmude in Belgium. Dimitrios Rallis has resigned as Prime Minister of Greece after a disagreement with his Minister of War, Dimitrios Gounaris, over going to war with Turkey. King Constantine has appointed Nikolaos Kalogeropoulos to replace Mr. Rallis. The Empire of Japan's war minister, Count Tanaka Gichi, has announced that another division of troops will be sent to its governorate of Chosen. Chosen is the peninsula that sits across the Sea of Japan from Fukuoka. In elections in South Africa, Prime Minister Smuts and his South African party have won 79 of 134 seats, which means they will no longer need to govern in coalition with the Unionist Party. This is a major setback for opposition leader General Herzog's campaign for the Union to secede from the British Empire.
Proudly stretch his back.
Elsewhere in the empire, the Duke of Connaught, on a long tour of India, has rested his tired caravan in Calcutta, where he opened the Bengal Legislative Council, the first advisory body of native Indians in the province. In his speech to the councillors, the former Governor General of Canada and uncle of the King Emperor reviewed political progress, warned his audience of the difficulties of self-government, but suggested the powers of the ministers and of the electorate would be extended. Quote, "With sobriety of language and freedom from passion and prejudice," said His Royal Highness, "the British Parliament 10 years hence will be justified in enlarging the scope of the administrative activities." Tell it to Ireland's revolutionaries. The Irish Republican Army pulled off what authorities privately concede was a most cleverly laid ambush at Clonfin on the road between Granard and Ballinalee in County Longford. The plan involved detonating a bomb as two truckloads of Royal Irish Constabulary auxiliaries passed. The bomb killed the driver of the first lorry, and the rebels then fired on the men. 4 of the 19 RIC auxiliaries are dead and 8 are wounded. Just 24 hours later, a second ambush by the Irish Republican Army in Queenstown, County Cork, has killed 17 policemen. The Archbishop of Mexico City, José Moray del Rio, the head of the Catholic Church in Mexico, has had his palace bombed. The chief of police says the attack is the work of Mexican Bolsheviks. However, President Obregón says the bombing was the work of individuals and directed not at the church, but at Archbishop Moray del Rio personally. He advises the archbishop to focus on the work of the church and to cease meddling in politics. In the United States, outgoing President Wilson, at the request of incoming President Harding, has called a special session of the Senate for the morning of Inauguration Day, March the 4th, in order to approve Mr. Harding's cabinet appointments. The Army Reduction Resolution was passed by Congress but vetoed by President Wilson. Both houses of Congress have now voted overwhelmingly, 271-16 in the House, 67-1 in the Senate, to override that presidential veto. The resolution is now law, and the U.S. Army will be reduced to 175,000 men. The U.S. Governor-General of the Philippines, Francis Harrison, has given by cable his resignation to President Wilson, effective on the inauguration day of Mr. Wilson's successor. Mr. Harrison presided over a period of Filipinization in the territory, intended to prepare it for independence. That made him popular with people in the Philippines, but not with everyone back in Washington, where he was regarded as being insufficiently protective of U.S. interests. In Monroe, Louisiana, Lonnie Eaton, a Negro man convicted of murder, was scheduled to be hanged. But fortunately for him, the sheriff forgot to carry out the execution, and nobody in the department reminded him that he had the governor's death sentence to perform. 4 days later, having been apprised of his negligence, the embarrassed Sheriff Grant notified Governor Parker and asked what he should do now. The governor is mulling it over. World News Update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. Kaiser Bill Wilhelm II has given his first interview since abdicating the German throne. You can get the gist of it From the headline in the Brooklyn Daily Times, "My people betrayed me, God, and selves," says ex-Kaiser in first interview. The meeting at Amerongen Castle in Holland was obtained by a Dutchman, Heinrich Pettermeyer, who sold exclusive worldwide rights to United Press. His former Imperial Majesty informed Meneer Pettermeyer that, quote, "We would never have lost the war if the German people had remained true to themselves, and that since their betrayal and eviction of him," quote, "notice how God scourges the whole world."
I'd like to see the Yankees win this battle. I'd like to see France get back the promised land. I'd like to see this whole big world united.
Would post-imperial Germany like to see the Kaiser with a lily in his hand? Its Chancellor, Konstantin Fehrenbach, has accepted an invitation to attend the Reparations Conference to be hosted by the Allied premiers on March the 1st. The French government has already approved a dramatic restructuring and reduction in German war reparations. The world's largest ocean liner is the SS Bismarck. It was launched by the Hamburg American Line in June 1914, but never sailed because of the World War that started 2 months later. Under the Treaty of Versailles, it was surrendered by Berlin to Great Britain as part of German war reparations. After being badly gutted in a suspicious fire last year, it has now been sold to the White Star and Cunard Lines. We assume that name, the SS Bismarck, will be changed. No shrinking of the fleet in Japan. The House of Representatives in Tokyo has voted down overwhelmingly a proposal to reduce the number of new ships for the Imperial Japanese Navy. Bolshevik power is on the march far beyond Mother Russia. In Georgia, a Moscow-incited rebellion against the ruling Mensheviks started in Lori province. It has now spread to Tbilisi province, where the Mensheviks have abandoned Borchalo district to the Bolsheviks. A Russian invasion is said to be imminent. On the other hand, in the Armenian capital of Yerevan, the Armenian Revolutionary Federation has risen up against the Bolshevik faction who proclaimed the Armenian Soviet Socialist Republic. In less than a week, the ARF has driven the Bolsheviks and their Red Army allies out of the capital and declared a new state called the Republic of Mountainous Armenia. In British India, His Royal Highness the Duke of Connaught, former Governor General of Canada and uncle of the King Emperor, has opened the new bicameral legislative body comprising a lower house, the Assembly, and an upper house, the Council of State, including for the first time, albeit in an advisory role, representatives of the people of the subcontinent. This is an Indian-wide version of the provincial councils that have recently been inaugurated. In the United States, a joint session of Congress has received the results of the Electoral College and certified the election of Warren Harding as president and Calvin Coolidge as vice president. 404 members voted to certify the results, 127 voted against. The U.S. Census Bureau has announced that the mean center of the American population has moved further southwest, as it has done for over a century, to the extreme southeast corner of Owen County, Indiana, 8.3 miles southeast of the town of Spencer. It was previously about one-fifth of a mile north of Bloomington, Indiana, so that is a move of about 13 miles, which is the shortest move in the mean center of population since 1800. Perhaps the American people are settling down.
My side, he was my blessing bride.
Breeze, blow my baby back to me. That's what they're saying in Georgia. 32 people have been killed and 40 others injured by a tornado that swept through the Negro community of Gardner in Washington County, Georgia. Over 100 people have been left homeless by the twister. Since its discovery in 1887, Hanson Cave on Mount Timpanagos in the American Fork Canyon has been one of the great wonders of Utah. Now a second cave has been discovered by Verl Manuel and his colleagues, or perhaps rediscovered. Apparently it was found and then lost again in 1913, but they won't make that mistake a second time. And so on Valentine's Day 1921, Mr. Manuel has found what he calls the Great Heart of Timpanagos.
I'm a bullfighter. Behold, in me the skin of a Spanish onion. I sing ta-ta with my guitar. My father was a nut from Barcelona, and so was Ma, so there you are. Oh, you walk to see me in the arena, I smack the balls and break the skulls. I've got medals and things from Princess Ina for being a flyer and a bit of a story. Cling, clonk, cling, clonk, don't go to the bar. Cling, clonk, cling, clonk, please stop where you are. You'll hear me plink, you'll hear me plonk, and then you'll shout it fit for all. And you'll wish that I was strangled with the strings of my guitar. Now, you play it now, see? It gives me a good rest while you're playing. I never sing second time. That I know. Symphony now.
You may wonder why a Spanish bullfighter is singing a Neapolitan song, but it was close enough for George Formby. The popular English stage comedian was known as the Wigan Nightingale because of the way he used his bronchial cough in his northern songs. The cough wasn't really funny. As the son of a distinctive 4-foot-tall prostitute who was frequently in jail, Mr. Formby spent much of his childhood sleeping outdoors. As a result, he contracted asthma, made worse by tuberculosis, and then by a stage accident in 1916. Then came the Spanish flu. And George Formby is now dead at the age of 45. He was a great influence on the screen comedian Charlie Chaplin and on many other lesser entertainers. After the funeral, the second and bigamous Mrs. Formby took their son, also called George Formby, to a show at the Victoria Palace to cheer him up. It did not work. Young George watched a man called Tommy Dixon use his father's jokes, his father's songs, his father's mannerisms and costumes, and bill himself as the new George Formby. Young George Formby was so disgusted that he is now determined to follow his father onto the stage and reclaim his legacy for the family. The painter Sir William Richmond is dead at 79. He was a successful portraitist of William Morris and Robert Louis Stevenson, but is best known for his colourful mosaics in St. Paul's Cathedral, which were initially said to be too Byzantine for an English church. Peter Kropotkin, the famous anarchist, is dead at 78. He came from a Russian aristocratic family but dropped his princely title at the age of 12. In 1917, he returned to Russia after 40 years in exile to be welcomed home by tens of thousands of cheering supporters. Mr. Kropotkin became increasingly disillusioned by the revolution but retained his following, who filled the streets for his funeral procession. By kind permission of Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, many of the anarchists waved anti-Bolshevik placards. Your World News Update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues, noting that the United States has declined to ratify the Treaty of Versailles, The U.S. State Department has now withdrawn from the Allied Reparations Committee. In a further rebuff to the Allies, the Argentine has announced that it will not recognize the strictures of Versailles and will continue to purchase and import German war materials. Meanwhile, France is reported to have entered an alliance with Poland and agreed to support the Poles in the current Polish-Soviet war. Following the Revolutionary Committee of Georgia's appeal to Moscow, the 11th Army of Soviet Russia has crossed into Georgia from Armenia and Azerbaijan and is marching to the capital at Tbilisi to support Georgian Bolsheviks in their uprising against Georgian Mensheviks. The Prime Minister and other prominent Mensheviks are said to have fled Tbilisi for Batumi. In Armenia, the current anti-Bolshevik revolt is turning very bloody. Following a massacre of Armenian Bolsheviks, the military commander of the Armenian Revolutionary Federation, Hamazasp, has been brutally hacked to death in a revenge attack. The Persians are in the market for a new prime minister. Fatollah Khan Akbar has been overthrown in a coup d'etat by General Reza Khan and journalist Ziauddin Tabatabai. The Shah remains on his throne, although what His Majesty makes of the sudden removal of Prime Minister Khan Akbar is not known. Britain's recently retired Secretary of State for the Colonies, Viscount Milner, has presented to both Houses of Parliament the findings of his Committee on Egypt. Lord Milner recommends that the British Protectorate be given self-government without delay. Self-government for Ireland is proving more of a challenge. Even something as routine as a short railway journey on the Cork to Bandon line is now fraught with peril. As the train pulled in to the small halt at Upton and Inishannon, Irish revolutionaries from Sinn Féin raked every carriage with gunfire, killing two travelling salesmen initially, rather than their real target, the soldiers in the first and last compartments. The soldiers from the Essex Regiment then fired back. By the end of the exchange, 10 minutes later, 8 passengers were dead and another 10 wounded. One Sinn Féiner was found dead at the scene and another 2 close by. Cork out of Ireland is the easy part. Putting the cork back in is trickier. As the Republicans ambush the government forces ambush the Republicans. East of Cork, near Middleton, the Royal Irish Constabulary and the Army cornered Sinn Féiners in a farmhouse and killed a dozen of them. Two RIC officers were fatally shot by the revolutionaries. The Republicans are reported to be killing suspected informers. In the United States, a Negro in Georgia, John Lee Eberhardt, was accused of murdering his employer, Ida Lee, and turned himself in to the authorities. Then a mob, 3,000 strong from four Georgia counties, broke into the jailhouse at Athens in Clark County, seized Mr. Eberhardt and returned him to the scene of the crime. There they lynched him, burning him at the stake. Emigration to America from the nations of Central Europe has been halted because of the typhus epidemic. On what would have been her 101st birthday, a statue of women's suffragist Susan B. Anthony, along with those of her comrades Lucretia Mott and Elizabeth Cady Stanton, has been unveiled in the rotunda of the United States Capitol to honour the ladies' victory in a hard-fought cause, the extension of the franchise to women. The New Mexico Mounted Police have been the only statewide law enforcement since New Mexico's territorial days and have proved quite effective ever since the famous raid upon the state by Pancho Villa and his men. However, there has always been an element in state government that has wished to be rid of these southern Mounties, and they have now achieved the agency's abolition. There are now none but local police departments in New Mexico. In sports news, 3,000 spectators flocked to Lake Placid, New York, to watch the first ever ski jump competition in the United States. It was won by Anthony Mora. Another sporting first, the first ever game of a new North American ice hockey league for ladies, has taken place in Vancouver. The home team, the Vancouver Amazons, beat the Seattle Vamps 5-0. The league's other team are the Victoria Cupies. We like these team names.
Over the hill to Argentina, just to see my pony teeny, just to get one or smile, I would walk 100 miles. Over the hill to Argentina, just to see my pony teeny, just to get one or smile, I would walk 100 miles.
Okay, you'd walk 100 miles, but how about 2,500 miles? On November the 24th last year, Herbert Charles Cull walked out of his job at the Bunbury Herald and set off eastward out of Fremantle on the coast of Western Australia. 90 days later, he walked into Sydney, New South Wales, to become the first man ever to walk across Australia solo. Somewhere along the track, he decided to give himself a new name, Aidan de Bruin. While admiring his feat as a pioneering pedestrian, Bunbury Herald readers are still wondering what happened to the concluding installments of his serial, The Mystery of the Nine Stars, which he left unfinished when he decided to go walkabout. Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane has long wanted to demonstrate that an appendectomy can be performed without putting the patient to sleep with a general anaesthetic. So he gathered various gentlemen of the press and observers from the medical community, gave himself merely a local anaesthetic, and performed the surgery on himself, cutting into his body, removing his appendix, applying the sutures, and stitching up his own incision. Dr. Kane is an enthusiastic performer of self-surgery. 2 years ago, he amputated his own finger, but the self-appendectomy is regarded as his most ambitious operation yet. Rafael Reyes co-founded the Reyes Brothers Company with three of his siblings, and for a while they prospered, exporting quinine from Colombia's Putumayo River and from deep in the forests of the Amazon to Europe for use in malaria treatment. And then the business faltered. Brother Elias died of heart failure, Brother Enrique died of the yellow fever, and Brother Nestor was eaten by the cannibals of the Witoto tribe. So there were insufficient brothers for a company called the Reyes Brothers. Rafael Reyes joined the Colombian army, was quickly recognized for his courage and promoted to general, and eventually became president of Colombia, surviving a merely metaphorical tribe of predatory cannibals in Colombian politics. Dead at the age of 71, the great survivor of his family, Rafael Reyes. Your world news update. The messy aftermath of the Great War continues. A French invasion force comprising Algerian, Moroccan, and Senegalese troops from French Africa has been sent to the border with Germany in preparation for an invasion and occupation of the Ruhr to enforce the Versailles Treaty's war reparations. Incredible as it seems, an army of young Mohammedan men is waiting to invade Germany on the orders of Paris. A few days after the Georgian army retreated from the country's capital to defend the new seat of government at Batumi, and less than a fortnight after the Soviet invasion of Georgia, the Red Army has captured Tiflis and installed a Bolshevik government under Philippe Makhradze, chairman of the Georgian Revolutionary Committee. Far away in the Gulf of Finland, sailors of the Soviet Baltic Fleet have risen up at Kronstadt demanding reforms to Bolshevik government, such as the inclusion of anarchists on local Soviet councils. On the other hand, the Soviet Union and the Kingdom of Afghanistan have signed a treaty of friendship, as have the Soviet Union and Persia. One way or another, communism is spreading. The International Working Union of Socialist Parties has been formed in Vienna. After 18 months of Chinese occupation, the Bogd Khan has been returned to his throne. The son of an accountant at the court of the 12th Dalai Lama, the Bogd Khan, known in Tibet as the Bogdo Lama, has ruled Mongolia somewhat precariously since 1911. His prime minister will be Sodnomin Damdinbazar, a high Buddhist incarnation from northwestern Mongolia, allied with Baron von Ungern Sternberg, the anti-Bolshevik Austrian-born warlord known as the Mad Baron. As head of the Asiatic Cavalry Division, it is the Mad Baron who has thrown Chinese troops out of Mongolia. At the Irish city of Cork, six members of Sinn Féin were executed by order of court-martial for levying war on the government forces. Almost immediately, five soldiers in Cork were then killed by Sinn Féin. The Panamanian army has prevented Costa Rican troops from invading the country at the border town of Coto. A U.S. force has moved into Panama City to protect the seat of government. In the United States, President-elect Warren G. Harding has announced his cabinet appointees, including Herbert Hoover as Secretary of Commerce, Andrew Mellon as Secretary of the Treasury, and Henry Wallace as Secretary of Agriculture. They will be confirmed by the U.S. Senate in March. Election fraud is a terrible thing in any free society and has to be confronted seriously. So Congressman Patrick McLean, Democrat of Pennsylvania, has been removed from his seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. His colleagues voted by 161 to 121 to boot him after he was found to have committed election fraud in the November vote and then to have violated the Corrupt Practices Act, which is apparently binding on congressmen. On March the 4th, the disgraced Democrat's Republican opponent, John Farr, will instead be seated in the House. A bad month for public transportation. First, an horrific collision of two electric streetcars near Shelton, Connecticut. A passenger was seen by witnesses on the southbound trolley to Bridgeport carrying a can of gasoline. When one of the cars missed a signal and found itself heading down the track towards the northbound trolley from Bridgeport, and the two streetcars collided, the gasoline can ruptured and ignited, sending an inferno sweeping through both cars, burning eight passengers to death and hospitalizing another 20. Just days after that horror, at least another 28 persons are dead and another 100 injured at Porter, Indiana, where the Michigan Central Railroad's Canadian Flyer disregarded a right-of-way warning and was struck by the New York Central Railroad's Boston-Chicago Express. Among the dead are the fireman and the engineer of the New York Central, who were killed when they were scalded by a ruptured boiler. Henry Starr was a most resourceful criminal, twice sentenced to hang for the murder of a U.S. Marshal. He received a presidential pardon. And instead of reflecting on his good fortune, he immediately formed one of the most violent gangs in Arkansas. He also appeared as himself in a recent photo play about his robberies, the picture A Debtor to the Law. Mr. Starr was the pioneer of what is now known to ne'er-do-wells as the getaway car. Alas, he did not get away quite quickly enough. 4 days after being shot in mid-robbery by W.J. Myers, president of the People's National Bank of Harrison, Arkansas, wielding a .38-caliber rifle, Henry Starr is dead of his injuries at the age of 47. U.S. Army First Lieutenant William Coney of the 91st Aero Squadron has completed a transcontinental flight of 22.5 hours flying time from Coronado, California to Pablo Beach, Florida, in a de Havilland DH-4. The United States Post Office has set a new record for airmail delivery, conveying letters posted the day before at San Francisco to delivery in New York City in 33 hours and 20 minutes. Pilot Jack Knight is the first mailman to fly through the night rather than waiting for daylight. He departed San Francisco at 4:30 a.m. Pacific time, landed in daylight at Cheyenne, Wyoming, then took off at dusk and flew through the night in darkness for over 800 miles to Chicago, where a second pilot, Ernest Allison, continued the flight to land at Roosevelt Field, Long Island, at 4:50 p.m. Eastern time. The post office declared the night flight, quote, the momentous step in civil aviation.
I found a rock in the Devil's Garden, wandering along, little lonesome road, for a harvest sun is never shining. Have no silver light.
because if you find a rose like this, you're in clover. The so-called American Beauty Rose is a deep pink cultivar bred by Henri Ledéchaux in France in 1875 and brought to the United States the same year. But the man responsible for popularizing it across the nation was the florist Orland Bassett, dead at 89. Prince Ernst Gunther had been Duke of Schleswig-Holstein from the age of 16 until the abolition of all the German royal houses in 1918. Dead at the age of 57, he will be succeeded as head of the Schleswig-Holstein ducal house by his cousin Albert, a German prince but also a grandson of Queen Victoria, and thus excused by the Kaiser from having to fight against the British in the late war. Otto Pieper wrote the definitive work Burgenkunde on German castle architecture, including the castles of Schleswig-Holstein. The only rival to his command of the field was Bodo Ebhardt, whom Herr Pieper excoriated for making ahistorical changes to the Chateau du Haut-Königsberg in Alsace at the behest of his client, the Kaiser. But Herr Ebhardt has outlived his rival. Otto Pieper is dead at 79. Karl Menger, the economic theorist and founder of the Austrian School of Economics, is dead at the age of 81. Joining him among the great majority are two great engineers, Major General Alexander Mackenzie, who built 100 miles of wing dams on the Mississippi River, and Henry Stanley, chief engineer of Queensland Railways, whose legacy includes the Albert Bridge on the Brisbane River and the Alexandra Bridge at Rockhampton. Schofield High was a Yorkshire cricketer who played for England 113 times. He had the lowest average of any bowler, taking 1,000 wickets this last quarter century. Dead of a stroke at the age of 49, Schofield High. And that's the way of the world, February 1921.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Mark Stein Enterprises and O'Kill Media, all rights reserved.